From the Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 30 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And I'm glad to welcome you all in the Savior's name to another Let the Bible Speak program. Our moment of meditation this week will bring us to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 49, and verses 1 and 2. And Jacob called his sons and said, Hearken unto Israel, your father. And the theme of our meditation is a final family gathering. Then later in the program, the Reverend John Greer will be letting the Bible speak once again from Hebrews 10, and words in verse 2, Once purged, no more conscience of sins. But we're going to commence the program, as always, with some music, and it's that wonderful piece, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow.
I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. The theme for our meditation is a final family gathering, and the text is in Genesis 49, verses 1 and 2. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Hearken unto Israel, your father. Jacob died on speaking terms with all his family, and in what glorious terms he spoke. In the verse 1 of the chapter we read, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Jacob died wearing the harness of a parent, a patriarch, and a prophet. It's a glorious testimony to God's grace in his life that he endured to the end, faithful to his God. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Jacob spoke to his sons of the nation that would spring from them, and what they would encounter in the last days. Though blind, he nevertheless saw from his deathbed what are yet, nearly 4,000 years later, still future days. His prophecy to each son is called a blessing. Foolish men tell us that ignorance is bliss. It's not so. To be in possession of God's truth is to be on the doorstep of bliss. To possess and obey is to enter into bliss. It's the bliss of certainty. Every Bible believer has in his possession the more sure word of prophecy that removes the veil of uncertainty from the future. He knows what will befall him at the end. Our times are in our Savior's hands. So are our souls. Nothing can separate us from his redeeming love. We owe much to the Jacobs who have gone before and who left to us the revelation of God. Their works and words have been a light to our feet as we journey through a world of darkness. Even as Balaam said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, so let our death be. Let us pass on to the hands of our offspring the torch of truth that will guide them through the forthcoming dark times. Let us remember, he that doeth the will of God abideth ever." Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, and each week we're here to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been helped or challenged as God's word has been preached, do take a moment to write and let us know. Perhaps you've come to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then we'd love to hear from you. We'll be glad to send you some gospel literature, free of charge and entirely without obligation, so why not write to us at our mailing address? It's Let the Bible Speak, Westland Avenue, Ballymoney, B-A-L-L-Y-M-O-N-E-Y, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Westland Avenue, Ballymoney, BT53 6PE. And you'll get the address again at the end of the program. And I look forward this week to receiving a letter from you.
Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Where is that blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still. But they have left an aching void this world can never fill. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. So shall my walk be close with God, serene and calm my frame. So pure a light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb.
William Cooper's great hymn, Oh for a Closer Walk with God. And now here's the Reverend John Greer to Let the Bible Speak.
Once more I want to bring your attention to the words of Hebrews 10 and verse 2, the words, once purged, no more conscience of sins. Here in these verses the Apostle Paul is clearly showing that what the Old Testament sacrifices could not do, the sacrifice of Christ has accomplished. That is, it has removed sin. It brings about the situation where the person who trusts that sacrifice will have no more conscience of sins. And we're seeing here, since we started this study last week, that it is Christ's sacrifice or Christ's atonement that satisfies divine justice. God will not pass by sin. Sin must be dealt with. God's wrath must be answered. His divine requirements must be met. And this is what we find Christ doing when he came into the world. He came to offer up himself, to give himself as a sacrifice for sin, so that divine justice would be satisfied, and therefore men could have this great blessing of no more conscience of sins. Now the Lord's sacrifice had a particular value in that it was the offering up of Christ himself, the offering up of a real person who was both God and man, and therefore the sacrifice had this particular value to meet the divine requirements and satisfy divine justice. Christ's sacrifice then has a pleasing value. In verse 6, we find the Lord Jesus actually speaking, as Paul quotes from Psalm 40, and he says, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure." Now, in those sacrifices, or the Levitical offerings, the Lord had no pleasure. They did not please him, in other words, because they were not possessed of the property required to satisfy his justice and his holiness. But the Lord's sacrifice, Christ's sacrifice, had a pleasing value, namely the value of his own absolute and act of obedience to the divine will, as verse 7 reveals. And Christ says in verse 7, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He came to do the Father's will, and he did it. So when he came to die his atoning death, there was in it all the pleasing value of his life of perfect obedience, a life without spot and without blemish. Such was foreshadowed in the animal sacrifices, in that they had to be free from blemish. But it was only a foreshadowing. It was Christ who gave the obedience required. He is the one in whom the Father was and is well pleased. And therefore, when the Lord came to offer up himself at Calvary, he offered the life of absolute purity. He offered up a sacrifice, therefore, of a pleasing value. God was pleased with the sacrifice of Christ because Christ had done his will. Christ had completely and utterly done the will of God. He'd given a perfect obedience, and that therefore caused Christ's sacrifice to have a pleasing value in the sight of God. John 17 verse 4, Christ could say at the end of his earthly life, and on the eve of Calvary, "I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." The Lord Jesus had done the Father's will. And now as he comes to die, he knows that he has pleased his Father. And he knows that the sacrifice that he's about to make in giving himself for sin is a pleasing sacrifice, has a pleasing value. And oh, how good it is to know that God is delighted with Christ, with his life and his death, with his death because of his life. And therefore, he is delighted and pleased to save all those who trust in that death and in that precious blood. If you will hasten to the work of Christ to rest by faith in his atoning death, then God will be delighted to save you and make you a new creature. Then the Lord's sacrifice had a propitiatory value. There's a value that satisfied and appeased the wrath of God. Now in these verses where our text lies, you'll find over and over again the use of the words offering and offered. These words indicate that there was an offering made, and furthermore, that there was one to whom the offering was made. That, of course, is God the Father. For example, back in chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works?" Here it is. He offered himself to God. He offered himself to God as a sacrifice for sin in order to satisfy the righteous wrath of God. We must get this. We must understand this. The Lord's death was first and foremost objective in that he died to satisfy, propitiate the justice of his own Father in heaven. And unless we really grasp that truth, we will never understand the gospel at all. Jesus died not to make people happy. Jesus died not merely to deliver people from sinful situations. He certainly does give happiness, and he does save people out of their their dire situations. But first and foremost, he died to satisfy or appease the wrath of a sin-hating God. And without that, there could be no salvation. Without that, there could be no such situation as we have here in these words, no more conscience of sins. But thank God, Christ has given a sacrifice of this propitiatory value. And the fact that it is of that value is seen in that it never needs to be repeated. Now, I put this out to you in my first study in these words, because we find in verse 2 this particular statement or question, really, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. In other words, if the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement made by Aaron had brought about the propitiation of God's wrath or justice, then there would have been no more need for such a sacrifice. But of course, as we saw, that sacrifice did not appease the wrath of God. It was only pointing forward, you see, to Christ. And it's Christ's sacrifice that has appeased divine wrath or propitiated God's justice. And therefore, it's Christ's sacrifice that was offered once for all. One offering. And in Romans 6 verse 10, we have the great statement, he died unto sin once. And because his sacrifice was of this value, that is, this propitiatory value, it is accepted by God, it has met all his requirements, his justice is completely satisfied, his wrath is turned aside, and therefore there is salvation for men. And then the Lord's sacrifice had a perpetual value. That's brought out in this passage where you find these terms, once for all, one sacrifice for sins, one offering. In other words, the point is that though Christ died only once, the value of his sacrifice is perpetual and available to all who will seek him. God gives a once for all justification on the grounds of Christ's once for all atoning sacrifice. Oh, my friend, if you will rest in Christ today, you will rest in one whose work has this perpetual value, and you will be justified freely from all things and be declared righteous in the sight of God and have no more conscience of sins. So we find indeed that the Lord's atonement, the Lord's sacrifice, satisfies divine justice. It also then removes guilt from the sinner. No more conscience of sins, it says. Once purged, no more conscience of sins. The purging in view is the actual removal of guilt by the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And since the atoning death of Christ satisfies and propitiates the wrath of God, the result is the removal of sin's guilt from the one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. The removal of guilt. No more conscience of sins. Now, this is known in our study of theology as expiation. Sin and guilt removed from the sinner who rests in Christ. God first of all satisfied, and then the guilt of the sinner taken away. And we can say with the psalmist, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now that's the great goal in salvation as far as our own experience and position are concerned. And remember that Christ's blood does remove sin. Sin is removed from the sinner himself by the atoning work of Jesus Christ. God is satisfied, then our sin is taken away, our guilt is removed. We think of the Day of Atonement, and on that great Day of Atonement, as described in Leviticus 16, the first goat died to symbolize the satisfaction of God's wrath and justice. And then the second goat had sin symbolically transferred to it, and it was then led away into the wilderness to symbolize the removal of sin, the purging away of sin. I tell you today, dear friend, the atoning death of Jesus Christ does remove guilt from men. And I urge you, therefore, to rest in Christ with all your heart and all your soul. You must go to him, and he will take away your sin. He will remove it. He's got the power to do so. He has got the potential to do so, because he has made a full atonement. He has satisfied God, and therefore he can take away your sin if you will go to him. And you can go to him personally and directly, even this very moment, and trust him for yourself. And if you do, you'll have no more conscience of sins. Peace for the soul is secured by the Lord's atonement. For the sinner who's troubled and convicted with a raging burden of guilt, here is the great assurance of peace. No more conscience of sins. Come and rest in Christ today, and his merit and his precious blood will make you clean, will purge your conscience, and give you a true peace. May God write his word on your heart.
There's a crimson tide from the Savior's side, and it purgeth all who plunge therein. Oh, its healing stream doth the soul redeem, and it cleanseth from all sin. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it cleansed my heart and made me free.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. If we can be of further spiritual help, then do write to us at Let the Bible Speak, Westland Avenue, Ballymoney, Ballymoney, BT53, 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Westland Avenue, Ballymoney, BT53, 6PE. You're warmly invited to attend the services at our affiliated work in Port Erin Gospel Church, Castletown Road, Port Erin, each Lord's Day at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. And also our listeners in Scotland will be warmly welcomed at the Lord's Day services of Stranraer Free Presbyterian Church, meeting in the Coronation Day Centre at 11:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Thank you for listening today, and may the Lord richly bless you. I trust you'll join us at this same time each week as we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.